Welcome, everybody. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to our Sunday service. Happens to be the last service of 2023. Like, you turn to your neighbor and say, it's good to see you at the end of 2023. And certainly I'll be seeing you in 2024. And give them a high five if you're close enough. If you're not, just wave to them. You're welcome in Jesus' name. All those who are watching online, you're welcome. As you fellowship with us through the ministry of the Word and the Spirit, God will continue His work of internal transformation from one level of glory to a higher level of glory that will spill over into every area of your life, your mind, your will, your emotions, your physical body, your health, your family life, your business and professional life, so that, like the Scripture says, your profiting will appear in all things. You're all welcome in Jesus' name. Shall we bow to pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence in our midst. As we go into the Word this morning, we humble ourselves afresh under your mighty hand. I pray for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so I will speak indeed as I should, as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, as well as those who will be hearing me remotely, electronically. So the Word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including mine in particular, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. I further pray as I speak, the power of the Holy Spirit be released in great as well as in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they're heard and released in all the earth. Yes, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes and free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and are hearers only. Further pray for mercy to be faithful, to deliver the word, Father, with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving all the blessings mentioned in the prayer in their individual lives, all individually agreed and said, amen. We're going to continue and finish our study today in Proverbs chapter 4, so that we can start chapter 5 by the grace of God in the new year. And in our last lesson, we stopped in verses 20 through 23, which read as follows. Read after me. Say, my son, I didn't hear you. Attend to my words. I don't want to hear only Pastor Wigg and a few pastors. I want to hear everybody. It's a new year, new mentality, new behavior. Come tonight. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear. Incline thine ear. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, my words, are life unto those that find them, and health, medicine to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. I think we stopped there. But we'll read on in our last lesson, finish this today. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Today we'll use the word wayward. And perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on. Let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. And let all thy ways be established. I'll comment on this later, but let me say it now. That word ponder, the New International Version says, give careful thought. I like that. To all your paths. Then the Amplified says, and let all your ways be ordered aright. It's not automatic. Turn not to the right hand, not to the left. Remove your foot from evil. In our last lesson, we went into detail verses 20 through 22 and 23, I believe. You know, attend to my words, just quickly review it. It just means read your Bible every day. Give attention to it. You know, as simple as these instructions are, it is amazing that over 70% of Christians don't do it. That's why they live in the outer court. That's how I get that figure. The Bible says two-thirds will be cut off. Two-thirds is the percentage of the area of the in the tabernacle as well as in the temple. Is the percentage of the area of the outer court. And only one-third is the holy place and the most holy place. And then that one-third is split into two. The holy place is actually about one-twelfth. So if you put it over 12, you know, the one-third, you know, is about three over 12. So you got one part is 1/12. You got the other part, which is 3/12, which is 1/4. Then the rest just, because we just don't do the word. I remember many years ago, you know, somebody said, oh, Brother Luby is only teaching elementary things. I shook my head. You know, he said, it's very good. It's good for young Christians. You know, I shook my head. That's why we got a problem we got today. You never outgrow Bible reading. However more you know it in your head. Because like I said last time, you can have the letter and not yet have the spirit. In fact, the spirit of the word is constantly unfolding because it is the manifold wisdom of God. By the grace of God. Look at what I preached last Sunday on Christmas Day. Making room. How many times have you read that scripture? There's no room for him in the inn. You will only apply it in its historical context. That, you know, there was a lot of people in Bethlehem. And so they didn't have space. Which is true. But there was a message there. Which it was a spin-off from what William, my son, Dara's husband, you know, sent in our family chat. But then I didn't even go in the direction, I went in another direction completely, you know. And most people don't make room for Jesus. Let me correct that. They don't make enough room. They make room for him. If you want to go to heaven, you have to make room for him. But it's very convenient to keep him in the garage. It doesn't cost you much. But if you want to put him presidential, it's going to cost you time. And that's why people don't attend. They'll read the newspaper first. They'll watch Man U and Arsenal. And I do too. But I have an app on my phone, you know, Premier League. So anytime there's a match, I always get all the highlights. But I don't spend 3 hours watching the, you know. I mean, sometimes it's like with World Cup or something, you know. You know, but I get, you know. God is not saying we shouldn't enjoy things. He's just saying that we should put him first. Is that first that we have a problem with? Is that first that we have a problem with? Yeah, he's there. But he's never first. We push him until he gets to the basement. Then let him stay there, you know, while we do more what we consider to be more important things. Incline an ear unto my sayings. That is, hear the word of God, you know, that like coming to church. Is you never get enough. Let me tell you a truth. I've been in this for 44 years now. You know, that's being born again. I got born again in 1979. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit November 11, 1979. And from that time till today, by the grace and the mercy of God, you know, I have been consistent in these things. Let me tell you, there is no such thing as, oh, you've heard it and you don't need to hear it again. It doesn't exist. Because it's the manifold wisdom of God. You know, there are some messages I have heard 10, 15, 20 times. Some of Ken Hagin's messages were in the early years, you know, I must have listened to some messages maybe about 100 times. I'm not exaggerating. The same message. And each time I listen, I learn something new. Each time. You look at what Pastor Laulu and Pastor Wale do every day. Daily Ramers. I wrote it. I yet not I, but the Spirit of God is with me. And I'm reading it and I'm learning something. And I wrote it. Douglas, of you who didn't write it. You never outgrow the Word of God. And you constantly need to be hearing it to keep you in the straight and narrow. Because you're living in a spiritually hostile environment. There are all kinds of voices. The voice is screaming from the television. It's screaming from the Facebook. It's screaming from Instagram. It's screaming from all over the... And you know what happens, sadly? Most people give attention to those ones more than they do the Word of God. And you know what the Bible says? It says, my son, cease. If you stop hearing... It's Proverbs chapter 19, verse 27, I believe it is. You know, stop listening to the Word of God and you're going to err. The whole system is programmed like that. God, we're dealing with spiritual forces. If you stop listening to God's word, you start listening to the word of the devil. And you start doing it. It just happens. It's the way everything, because we're dealing with spiritual forces, it's the way everything is set up. So you can't afford to stop listening. That's why you come to church on Sunday, you come on Wednesday. If you can't come physically, make sure you listen. So that you all those things remain fresh in your mind. And they will now direct how your life goes. Which is what he says in the remaining verses. He says, incline thine ear to my saying, let them not depart from thy eyes. Meditation. Thinking about it in your mind. You know, keep them in the midst of thine heart. This has to do with, you know, the life of God. You know, using life scriptures, the Pauline prayers and all of that. That's how you keep it in the middle of your... The heart there isn't just the spirit. It's also the soul. You know? You got to keep the Word of God in there. And maybe I should... I should say this. I'll probably... Maybe I'll do it now or maybe later today. It depends on how the Holy Spirit leads me. You know? You need to understand something, folks. If you don't keep the Word of God in the midst of your heart, something else will take. Remember the guy who was delivered? Jesus said, when the evil spirit is gone out of man, you know, he goes to dry places seeking rest. He says, I'm going to go back to my house. He says he returns. He finds it what? Clean, swept, but empty. Empty. That's what opens the door to demonic forces. And I didn't say demons. I use the word forces deliberately. People are going around trying to get deliverance. Like Papa Hagen said many years ago. He said they want, you know, they want someone to cast the devil out of them to do this and to do that. You don't need anybody to cast the devil out of you. You need to crucify the flesh. You can't cast it out. No one deal with the flesh. They don't want to use the spiritual, the life of God and the power of the Holy Spirit to crucify the flesh and cleanse out the sin nature from the flesh. You can't. If we cast you out of your flesh, you're going to heaven. So we can't cast. Sorry, bad news. We can't cast the flesh out. And you're going around, you know, looking for deliverance. Deliverance from this, deliverance from that, deliverance from that. No, what you need is to crucify the sin nature and cleanse it out. And it takes time, it takes effort, you know, by the Spirit, of course, you know. And it's that time they don't want to give to God. They want it, so they're looking for a magician, you know. Go to some meeting, you know, give some amount of money. Then the guy else waves this magic wand. And all your problems disappear overnight, you know, and you just get deliverance. You never have any. In Jesus' name, I've got so many silly messages in this last 24 hours. You know, when it's near New Year, all people send all kinds of silly things to you. As you are approaching 2034, no, you are not going to have any problem. Somebody sends something in the calendar. They say in the calendar, your date of accident is not there. This one. I understand the heart, you know. I'm kind.
You know, I understand. You know, they're trying to wish you well. But you know, it's childish stuff. See, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. There's no such thing. Nobody, I decree. For 1924, one guy sent me, you know, somebody I knew some years ago. But, you know, they're still on my mailing list, you know, my... I decree, in 2024, you won't see any problem. I just shook my head. And this guy hasn't read his Bible. If I was in the world, you will have tribulation. He said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He didn't say you won't have problems. He says you will overcome them. And even that overcoming is conditional. Depends on what you do with the word of God. Don't let anybody fool you or lull you into a false sense of security. Don't let them depart from your eyes. That's your responsibility. It's not God's responsibility. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That's your responsibility. It's not God's responsibility. Now, the consequence of doing verse 21... 22, you know, or verse 21 is in 22. Then it'll be life when you get a revelation of the word. And then it'll be medicine to all your flesh. I need to talk about that, but let me finish. I want to finish this today. Keep thy heart with some diligence. You know, we're dealing with a person. I was sharing Pastor Wiga last night. You know, when I say person, I'm talking about God, who is so precise. The man made the universe. I thank God for the study of science and physics and medicine and chemistry and all of that. Everybody who is in any type of the sciences here will know what I'm talking about, whether you're in medicine or you're in vet medicine or whatever. Precision. Everything is precision. There's a certain number of atoms that do this. There's particular configuration, you know. Even in medicine, even when they're giving you your medicine, when the doctors are giving you your medicine, there's a dosage. There's so many milligrams. And then you don't just take it haphazardly. You take it at a particular time. Antibiotics. You've got to take it every 6 hours or every 12 hours. This is the way they didn't make it. They just found out that that's what works. Because we have a creator who is extremely intelligent, and that is a terrible understatement. You know? And who has done all things well. So when he right now writes us an instruction manual, just called the Bible, then we now treat it, you know, as with levity, you know. He didn't say keep your heart with diligence. He said keep your heart with all diligence. There's a reason why I put the all. That's why it comes to all these 6 hours every day. Every 6 hours. He knows what he's talking about. He said, this book of the law. He said, it won't depart out of your mouth. He said, what is the great commandment of the law? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and, you know, love your neighbor yourself. He says, and you would talk of it. See, when you sit down, when you lie down, when you get up, when you walk by the way, the man is not, you think he doesn't, you see, he's intelligent. There's a reason why he said all of that. That's how to do it diligently. Diligence means consistent, well-directed, you know, effort. You know, consistent, it has to be well-directed, and then you have to put strength into it. You don't just do it, you know, haphazardly. God gave me that definition years and years ago. Consistent, concentrated, and well-directed effort. All the three of them must be there. It must be consistent. It must be concentrated. Then it must be well-directed, not just haphazard. Then we all do it as we, like in the days of the kings, as it seemed good unto us. As we're having the disasters we're having. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. You know, if you read some of the modern translations, they do damage and total injustice to these scriptures. So, you know, I don't read some of those funny, I call them toy Bibles. You know, living Bible, all this funny, you know, because many of them are not translations, they're paraphrases. A paraphrase is a suggestion by the translator of what he thinks the author is saying. That's why I'm so fixated on the King James. The King James says, diligently translated from the original tongues. The King James is not. They do make mistakes in the King James, but then they're very few. You know, because of lack of, you know, they did in 16, whatever. You know, but what they did in the King James was they took each word, the Greek and the Hebrew, and then they translated it into the equivalent English. They didn't try and put their spin on it. So what you're seeing is a literal translation of word for word. Then, of course, you know, they try and make sure you understand it and use the words. And then sometimes they put some things in italics. Sometimes they get it, sometimes they don't get it. Same with the Amplified Bible, you know. But some of the new translations is the man's opinion. The guy who's not baptized in the Holy Spirit. And he gives you his own opinion. So, you know, this... I got something that's... It says, guard your heart more than anything else, which is good. But you say, can you see? It says, the original said, keep your heart with all diligence. This one says, guard your heart above it, which is true. But that's not what he said. Well, it's not as precise, let me put it that way. You know? He says, because the source of your life flows from it. You know, people always look at this in the natural. You know, like, okay, if you keep your heart with all diligence, you know, you get a car, you get a good job, you get a nice wife, you do this, you get that, you know, out of it are the first issues of life. And that is true, but that's the branch, not the root. You know what he's talking about? He said, out of it flow the forces of life. He's talking about the fruit of the Spirit. It's from your spirit through your soul that those forces, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. They now control what you think, what you say, what you do, which will now get you the nice wife, which will get you the nice car, which will... But if you just look at the thing on the surface and you don't go down to the root, you miss it. Out of it are the forces of life, the fruit of the Spirit. You know, these spiritual forces that they control what happens in our lives. I like it the way James, Jesus' junior brother, Jesus was firstborn. You know, Jesus' junior brother, James, became an apostle. He had two brothers who really followed him, James and Jude. He had four brothers, actually. We don't know what happened to the other two. Now, you know what? We never got the name of his sisters. That is a mystery we will unravel when we get to heaven. They're in heaven. There's no doubt about that. The Bible says they were there, his brothers and sisters, on the day of Pentecost. But they, let me go there. They're like a lot of our people. You know, even some of your own family. They're not interested in deep spiritual things. So their names aren't even recorded in scripture. Jesus' brothers. The four brothers, their names are there. I can't remember the names of the other two. The only two we always remember is James and Jude. Because they became apostles and wrote scripture. What are the other two doing? Food for thought for you. You might ask that rhetorical question, what are you doing? So anyway, James tells us, he says that a beautiful scripture is in James chapter 3. Is it that if you can control your tongue, you see, you can control your whole body. But he goes a step further. He says that, you know, he says the tongue is a fire. It is set on a, it sets into motion the cycle of natural events. Same thing. Keep your heart. How do you keep your heart with all your tongue? Your tongue! Your words! will determine the spiritual forces that are going into your mind, your will, your emotions, then your body, and then your circumstances, and then determine what happens in your life. And it's because the man loves us so much. God loves us. That's not religion. It's not rhetoric. It's fact. He cares. God loves you more than your natural parents can ever love you. Far more. Far more. When anything happens to you in your life, it hurts him. He's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. You know, he doesn't like when his children, all this rubbish that happens to us. That's why he gave us such a detailed instruction manual. If we will do the things he said we will do, we will avoid a lot of something. And, you know, I don't know how I can say this, but I'm going to say, you know, stop grieving his heart. You know, you those of us who have children, you know what I'm talking about. When your children are in trouble, you know, maybe something happens to them, even if it's their fault, even if they, you know how you grieve. How God, you understand what I'm trying to say? Spiritually, it's exactly the same thing. Genesis chapter 6. He says, and the thought of man was evil. He said, and it grieved him at his heart. And it repented him. Can you imagine that he had made man? He said, but Noah. Let's give Noah a super clap offering. But Noah, thank God, found grace. At least there was one man that made all God's trouble worth it. An amazing thing, scripture. You know, say the same thing today. Pray, read your Bible. I don't have time. Watch my U. Watch Arsenal now. Arsenal fan. There's nothing wrong in watching my. I do. Nothing. But I don't do it before prayer. And I don't do it as a substitute for prayer. Prayer will come first any day. I might be praying in tongues and I get the alert, but I won't go and watch it. I put it. Then after I finish my praying and my Bible, then I can go on YouTube or something and just watch the highlights. That's okay. See, God is teaching us how to live in this world and yet be spiritual. Which was how Jesus was. That's why they didn't understand him. Jesus was a very natural guy, yet extremely spiritual. He was very natural. He was a man. I know he was God, but he was very much a man. Vasa was tempted in every way like as we are. Jesus, he wasn't living in some cloud nine, you know, some esoteric plane that nobody else can get to. No, Jesus was a regular. That's why the Pharisees didn't believe he was who he was. They said, you know, a friend of publicans and sinners. A wine bibber. I'm sure Jesus took quite a bit of wine in parties. You know? And he ate good food. You know? They say he's a wine bibber. They've seen him in parties. They see how Jesus would recline, you know, they will bring this, he will eat. They will bring this one, he will drink. And man won't wash his hand. They said, no, this one cannot be. They didn't know. You know what? They betrayed their lack of understanding of God's character. You know what he said to them? He said, go and learn what this meaneth. I would have mercy and not sacrifice. He said, then you would not have condemned the guiltless. They didn't know him. Like many of us today don't know him. You know, many of us are just as religious and as just as Pharisaic and as just as legalistic, you know, as many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees back in those days. We only have our own set of rules. It's different from their own, but we have our own. You got typical Pentecostal or typical, you know, we have all those straight jacketed ways of, you know. And if God was to appear on the scene and behave like Jesus, who would say, ha? If this man were a prophet, if he will know the kind of woman that just touched him, they didn't know God. And it was the man who was asking was a good man, in quotes, you know, religious. You know, he invited Jesus to his house to eat. And Jesus came and Jesus said, I was eating. This woman who was a prostitute, whom some of them may have slept with. Silly guys, you know. When a woman comes in and begins to rub her, use her hair to wash Jesus' feet, all of them were scandalized. This woman, hey, if he truly was from God, he would have said, don't touch me. And Jesus is relaxing, he's eating. Eating and drinking wine. They don't understand. They say, Simon, I have something I want to ask you. Yeah, the guy had two debtors. I use Nigerian money. One owed him 1,000 naira. And now one owed him 100,000 naira. He said, frankly, the man forgave both of them. He said, who do you think will love him the more? The man said, well, I suppose the one who you forgave 100,000. He said, that was answered rightly. He said, I came to your house. You did not give me anything to wash. You didn't give me any perfume for my hair. I just used perfume. For those of you who are scandalized. You know, you didn't give me any perfume for my, you didn't wash my feet. You know, he said, but this I came, this woman, you know, has not stopped washing my feet with her hair. He said, her sins, which are many, have forgiven her. So, woman, go in peace. Your faith has made you whole. They were more scandalized. You know why? They didn't know God. Let me paraphrase that. They didn't know his character. They didn't know the kind of person he is. God is a very, very kind, loving. He's looking for ways to save men. He's not looking for ways to condemn them, unlike you. You are looking for every excuse to criticize and send them to hell as quickly as possible. God is the exact opposite. He is looking for a way. He did not give us a ministry of condemnation. He gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Don't let me get off on that. Pastor Lau, look up there. Where is Ni Yomikole? He must be here somewhere. The latest version of the life animation. Put it on the screen. Just before you do, get it ready. I'm going to call for it in a minute. Let me just, Nia has the latest version. If he's not yet in church, call him and let him send it to you by email. Nia, God just saved you this morning. Now, I say that deliberately because I know it's the weekend and people are traveling and he might not, you know, might just be coming in from town, you know, out of town or something. Right. So it says, keep your heart with all, for out of it are the issues of life. Verse 24. I'm going to get to verse 27, then I'm going to expatiate on some things. Thank you. We have at least 15, 20 minutes. It says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the forces. So that word issues isn't just the consequences of life, are the spiritual forces that determine the consequences. And if you miss that, you will only read this in the outer court. You read in natural. Put away. Now, he's not telling you how to make sure that you keep your heart with all diligence. And the problems that can occur or things that can spoil this. Put away from thee a froward, a wayward mouth, perverse speech. Perverse lips far from thee. I think it's in Ephesians. It says, corrupt, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. It's so common today. I told us last week, you know, you put on, you know, I watch nice movies. I like things like espionage and, you know, I like things with the deep plots. And you know, when I'm watching a movie, I'm always looking for how God is working in the affairs of men. You know, and I do. You know, but you know, it's so difficult to find a good movie. I was saying Pastor Boyka last night. You spend more time searching for the movie than watching it. Because most of it is bad. If I don't talk about a car, and say, you know, maybe like a Jaguar or something. Instead of saying a Jaguar, the guy will say, he used the F word. A F Jaguar. Come on. What do you have? You don't have to put that there. But they found out that if you don't say that, the film won't sell. Because the people they are selling to, you know, are a perverse generation. If you make a movie now, I'm not going to, you know, all the Gen Z, which is from 2000, you know, before that time, there were certain restrictions and people were more conservative. You know, you don't find foul language, you know, but in the last 20 years, 20-something years, it's gone so bad. You can't make a good movie without perverse, corrupt speech and a sex scene. It will not sell. You have to find a way of putting that inside. And they even now add all this homosexuality, they put it inside. Because they're trying to be acceptable to a wider crowd of people. Rubbish and nonsense. You better stop watching them. You can enjoy a good movie. You know, I always tell Pastor Wiley or whoever is with me, you know, Larry or anybody, I say, go and check the rating. Then I want to find out what it's about. Once it's nonsense, I don't watch it. I don't have time. And enjoy myself, pray and everything. Then maybe I have 1 or 2 hours I want to relax. It has to be quality. I can't watch nonsense. And it affects your heart. That's why you talk the same way. Put away from the wayward mouth and perverse. Any kind of language that is perverse, don't even let it come near you. Don't listen to it. Don't watch it. Because it's garbage in, garbage out. What you program and listen to, you just find it will automatically come out. Even when you don't intend it to. Only the pastors seem to be saying, yes, sir, amen. What's wrong with you over here? Pastor Andrew, what's wrong with the choir? What's wrong with all of you over here? Is the thing hitting you? Like Papa Hagen would say, if you can't say amen, say oh me. He says, it's me he's talking to. So instead of saying amen, they'll say oh me. But they don't say it out loud. Change all that. You cannot go into 2024 with all this nonsense. Do you hear me? Let thine eyes look right on. And let an eye lead you straight before thee. In other words, be single-minded. His only word is, I like Philippians. Whatsoever things are true and honorable and just and pure and lovely and of good report and of excellence and of praise. If it ain't any of that, I don't have time. And you find even a lot of secular movies are good. You know, but you just have to search for them. Where they will, you know, there will be a good plot and good will prevail over evil. And many times they are real life stories. I remember one I watched. Oh, Pastor Wale was with me and Nkechi. He was here in Nigeria. You know, so about a year or two ago, you know, I think Pastor Boyga and some of the other pastors, I said, you need to watch this movie. It was about a spy. He was Russian. And he defected to the U.S., you know. But he was like a double. The Russians did not know. You know, it's a true story. Great man. I forgot, Oleg something, I've forgotten his real name, you know. It actually happened, you know. It was 1968. He was the top man in the Russian embassy in Moscow. Then he was there when they crushed the rebellion in Prague. This is 1968, you know. And there was this uprising among the Czechoslovakians. They wanted freedom. You know, a lot of the man said, this is our communist thing. It's not working. When he got to that place, he started going to the library. They started reading books. The thing they're telling us, it's not. He did it on purely ideological grounds, not money. Not because he wanted money from the West. So he defected to the West and he started passing sensitive spy information. He did it for years. Then they moved him to London. Then he was now the head of the Russian embassy in London. And he was their top spy. And the guys in the Russians didn't know. He did it for years. Then there was a double agent in the CIA. And the British never wanted, because he was actually for the British. The British didn't want to reveal his identity to the CIA. So that, you know, if there was a mole in there, he would not, you know, expose him. Sadly, you know, there was something that happened and they had to let the British know. It's the time of Margaret Thatcher. This is a true story. You know, beautiful movie. You know, and so they finally, you know, this... There was an American man who was now spying for the Russians. He was doing it for money. Silly fellow. They got him anyway. You know? And he said, there's the guy, there's this, and he's the head of the thing, you know, of the Russian embassy in London. So they watched him, because he was so high up. He was so, I mean, they couldn't believe. But, you know, so they called him back to Moscow. And he went. Because if he didn't go, he would blow his cover. So he did go. You know, they were still saying, is it true or is it not true? So they were, you know. So the guys in England said, look, we're going to help him. So they said, I don't know, they got a message across to him that he had to leave. So they put him in a, they didn't put him in prison. He's too high up. He was so respected, you know. Top guy, you know, so he maneuvered his way, you know, and they made an arrangement to get him out. So he left Moscow, he took one train to somewhere, then he took another train somewhere, then some agents picked him up, you know, they put him in the boot of a car. It's a true story. They put him inside the boot. If you want to enjoy a movie, enjoy this kind. You know, they put him inside the boot. You know, and they drove up to the checkpoint, you know, where we're going to drive from Russia into Prague and some of these other countries. They almost got him. Talk about God ruling the affairs of men. They had these police dogs who were sniffing, and the dogs started to shout and everything. The British agent had this sense. He just threw meat. The dogs just had to eat the meat. They couldn't smell it. That's how they passed through. Give the Lord a clap of rings, somebody. I said, that's God. He was able to move to the West. They looked after him. They, you know, kept, you know. Those are the, but all this rubbish. There was not one perverse word in that. Not one. No sex, explicit sex sin. And yet you still enjoyed it. I use this as an example, you know. So you have to be careful. Keep your heart with all diligence. I told you I will let you know when I want it. Is this a new one? Yes, it is. Okay, just take it off and I'll tell you when to put it back on. Just for a minute. Right. So, where are we? Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we still have about 10 minutes. Put away from thee a froward mouth. Let your eyes look right on. That eyes there is not these eyes. It's your mind. You know, let your eyelids look straight before thee. ponder. I mentioned that. Well, think carefully. If you want to go do something, ask yourself, what's going to be the consequence of this action? This place, this decision, this place I want to go. The Bible says, excuse me. Excuse me. The Bible says, you know, that we should ponder. We should think. We're going to read this in Proverbs chapter 5. It says, remove your way far from her. You know, that means that you are able to see ahead. You think, this thing I want to go. This place I want, I won't go. I can be exposed to this. I don't want that. Think about it. Only the pastor said amen. Ponder the path of your feet. Then all your ways will be what? Ordered right. Then he gives you another instruction. He said, don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. Be uncompromisingly righteous. What's wrong with the rest of you? Is it only the pastors in the church? I said, be uncompromisingly righteous. Remove your foot from evil. You can say in another way. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Jesus taught us to pray. He said, they said, teach us to pray. He taught them. He said, lead us not in temptation. What does that mean? Does God lead people in temptation? The Bible says God cannot be tempted with evil. Now does he tempt them? He's saying that, lead me to avoid temptation. Lead me to avoid temptation. And how do you know? You think. Ponder the path of thy feet. Something is happening. I'm not going to allow myself in that situation. You know, that's how Jesus lived above sin. He grew up a normal life in Nazareth. And I'm sure he was a very good looking guy. And, you know, he had a mission. So I must be about my father's business. He wasn't doing what all the boys in town do and go to the place the boys go. You start doing what the boys do. If you can say amen, say oh me. Now, there are two things I want to concentrate. I want to emphasize before I close. Put the illustration on now. Put the illustration on now. We're going to probably look at this again. It's a little bit different from the one we had before. It's the same thing, but there's more detail now. Stop. Stop just for a minute. You know, I want to explain some things to people. You know, I'll probably talk about this during the watch night service because we're going to do live scriptures, not a lot, but do a few. But I want to, so that we have understanding. This is an example of what the Bible says, that the path of righteous shines more under. We had this illustration before, but now I put more detail in because I've got clearer revelation. Same thing, but much clearer. You can see that the inner core here is totally yellow, with all the perforations and all of that, then you can see those outlets. When you receive life into your spirit, it's distributed to the rest of the spirit man. But there's an outer core. The outer core is where the life from the inner core is converted to power, which is indicated in the orange, you know, kind of red-orange, you know, which goes directly to the soul. You see, your spirit, you know, has God's nature, but your soul is where the problem is. So it's the soul that you pump, you know, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. Then it's the soul it goes into. And from the soul, some of it goes into the physical body, which will bring strength and health and healing. And some of it goes into the circumstances. The Bible talks about the prince of the power of the air, talking about the devil. But we are to take over the air. By praying, speaking God's word, praying in tongues, groaning and all of that, you can release that. You can displace. Let me correct that. You should displace, not can. The power of the Satan in the air, and replace it with the power of God. So that instead of Satan influencing men, it will be God now who will be influencing men. Earlier I was talking to Pastor Andrew, you know, we're talking about this revival and everything. This is not cunningly devised people. In the time of Charles Finney and Father Nash, true in Rochester, in New York, this is in the 1800s, when Charles Finney would come to town and preach, all the brothels will close down. Brothels are where prostitutes are. You know? All the bars. True story. All the bars where they buy alcohol and, you know, go to... You know, can you imagine? Everybody closed down. Because everybody got born again. Let me correct that. Not everybody got born again. That's not true. A large percentage got born again. But there was such an influence of God in the air. They outsold the if you go to the bookshop, you can't buy a Bible. They sold out. Rough guys who go to, you know, go to get drunk, who go and visit prostitutes, people who are not interested in that anymore. Everybody was coming to church to listen to Charles Finney. Oh, let's give the Lord a clap offering. Give Charles Finney a flag and Father Nash. God allowed it to happen and to be recorded as a challenge to our generation. Can you imagine a situation in Ibadan where all the brothels will close? All the nightclubs will close. Amen. At least I have one amen. Thank God. I don't know. Some people seem to love sin. They don't want that to happen. That's why they didn't say amen. Seriously. You know, you can get to a place where, you know, the power of God is so present that even the people who are not yet born again are being influenced. So they don't even have the desire, or they will have a shame. There was another time, this was Wigglesworth, it wasn't Charles Finney. So Wigglesworth went to a town, you know, somewhere in England, you know, and he went to visit a factory, you know, and they started to cry. He didn't preach well. All the people, the manager, all the workers, you know, just had this conviction of sin. They said, oh God, you know. He didn't preach. These are not, the fathers, the Bible says, you should follow the steps of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. These things are available. We, you know what? We just have an unserious church. That's the reason why we haven't seen those. But we're going to see them. Can you imagine? They took over the air from Satan. Satan had the air before. That's what happened. They took over the air. So, you know, all those men, you know, not everybody got born again, but many did get born again. Many. Not all of them, but, you know. And then those who didn't even get born again were under the influence of those who got born again. So people will be ashamed. They will feel, I can't go to a prostitute. I can't go to a brothel. I can't do this, you know. And they won't. Now we need Nigeria. Change this country completely. Completely. And it's going to happen. Some of us have made up our mind. And thank God, we would like a crowd to come with us. But even if we don't have a crowd, Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego changed an empire. That's enough. Hallelujah! So, the thing goes into the... It goes from the inner core, you know, then to the outer core. So, the outer core's power is channeled primarily towards the soul, the body, and the circumstances. The one from the inner core is just spirit in the spirit. Your spirit is actually a storage tank, in a sense. It stores the life of God. So that's when you pray from each life scripture. Now I have more life, you know, to store in my spirit. I have more life. So each time saying Jesus' name, I have life. Life goes into that inner core, and then some of it is distributed to the rest of the spirit. So by the time you finish praying from last scriptures, your spirit is full. So when you pray, you speak in tongues, you bind the devil, you're expending life of what was stored inside. Just like when you pump water into the overhead tank in a house from the borehole, you know. So you use it during the day. Then at night, what do? You switch it back on and you replace. Isn't that right? Spiritual is exactly the same thing. That's why we pray from life scriptures every day. The life scriptures, the power that I got yesterday was used for the challenges of yesterday. And you know, another thing, let's mention this now, is that, you know, each day your capacity increases. So when you pray the next day, you're going to get a greater measure of life because you got a bigger spirit. The capacity of your spirit is just like physical growth. The difference is this. In physical growth, when a child is growing, you know, usually, you know, when they are 10, 11, 12, 13, those teenagers, you see them shooting up. Then it comes to the blood because we don't want any Goliaths around, you know. But spiritually, there is no stop. Because capacity keeps increasing. And the more your capacity increases, the more like God you become. The more you can do the same things God does. Capacity is very important. Capacity is very important. The difference between a 500 kVA generator and I pass my neighbor. Both of them are generators. Both of them will produce electricity. One will carry fan and TV and, you know, fluorescent lamp. Finish. The 5 kVA generator will carry lift. It will power an entire, you know, skyscraper. The face me, I face you, I pass my neighbor, whatever they call it. It can't do that. But both of them are producing electricity. So it is in the spirit. What is your spirit producing? That's why you need to come to intercessory school. That's why you need to pray every day. Every time you pray, you groan and all of that, life goes up. When you go and get born, it goes up. When you go and get born, it grows. You do that for 30 years, you become a different person. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Most of the people's spirits are just pea shooters. Tiny, tiny things. You know, thank God for corporate anointing. Then one will put 1,000 to flight. Then two will put 10,000 to flight. Then God has to find a lot of people, bunch them together, you know. All of them, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. So you have to look for 100 of them. Put them together before they can form 1,000. They now find another 10, 10, 10, 10, 10, 10. And make them another 1,000. Then two of them can now do 10,000. But they can't do it individually because God doesn't have enough spirits that are developed. This is not religion. It's reality. It's not physics. It's the Bible. And it is that power that's coming out from the soul, you know, through the mouth and all of that, that can overcome, see, the prince of the power, that those black things, that's the power of the devil in the air. That's how you can control your thoughts. So all these silly things that come to your mind, immediately you bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And every feeling that is not of God. Yes! I got to close. I'll tell you one last thing. I mentioned this. I probably will mention it again at night when we, because we're going to pray, you know, during the watch night service. You know, I said this last week. For years, I've always interpreted 3 John 2, you know, I wish above, I'm talking about this in this context where it says, it's medicine to all their flesh. You know, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. I've always applied it only to the prosperity because of the abuse, you know, of the prosperity. Where, you know, God will not prosper you above a certain level, you know, or it is the degree to which your soul, which is your will, your mind, and your emotions, prosper that you can prosper materially, you know. And that's true. But, you know, it's also true of health. And in this last week, as I've been praying and meditating, God's been speaking to me. He brought this scripture to me. I'm going to close with this. He said that talking about fathers, you know, he said, whose faith follow? Considering the end of their conversation. Don't follow people blindly. How did they end? And why did they end the way they ended? And what can I learn from it so I can do better? Then I went back to the fathers. You see, the faith people, sometimes they do an injustice by not telling us the whole truth. Do you know that John G. Lake died of a stroke? He died very young, 65. John G. Lake. I'm going to tell you the reason in a minute. John G. Lake was a guy who was in South Africa. When there was a bone, he put his hand and all the germs died. They asked him, they said, the law of the spirit of life in Christ, wonderful revelation. And it was God. But you see, God only allowed that to illustrate to the church what is available. We still have to go back now to work on the soul to be able to get that in our daily life. It's a completely different thing. That's why. Ken Hagen, who I honor so much, and I love him. Let's give Ken Hagen a super clap of him. You know, Ken Hagen died. He died in hospital. He was sick. He ain't been sick for years. Hagen died. He wasn't sick, but you know, he was. And I don't know all the whole story, but from the little I gathered, he didn't want to go. Then I think they insisted he went. You know, we faith guys, we don't like to go to hospital. You know? Smith Wigglesworth. He too died. At the age of 87, he had kidney stones. They begged him to do an operation so that they could take the stones out. You know what Wigglesworth said? He said, nobody's going to put a knife on this body. Now you would die first before, and that's what happened. Pastor Luby, why are you telling me this? These are some of the icons of faith. Great men, great women. But I want you also to understand. See, when I began to meditate on this in this last 1 week, God told me, he said, that is why you people have to let your soul prosper. So that you can get to the place where you can enjoy the fullness of divine healing and life. He said, like even you, like me, I take medication. I do. I, of course, I'm wise enough because I thank God for Kenneth Hagin, you know, who told us the truth, you know, to understand that, yes, my faith works and I, you know, but I know that it's got this level, but it's not at that level. So if I need medicine, why do you need medicine? To stay alive, so that you can work on your soul, so that your soul can prosper to the point where you don't need medicine anymore. I'm going to repeat it. Why do you need medicine? You need medicine so that you will stay alive, but don't waste that time when you're alive. That time is supposed to be used to prosper the soul more and more every day, so that you can get to the point where there'll be so much. It won't be a question of trying to use your faith and, you know, struggling. When the thing comes, it bounces off like John G. Lake in South Africa. He had it, but it wasn't permanent. It was an experience for that time. You know, there's parts of that story people don't tell. And I am one of the followers of the faith guys, but I will tell you the full story. His wife died while he was in South Africa. On this faith thing, John G. Lake would go into the bush for weeks, preaching, getting people healed and all. Great, you know. But money was not coming in. His wife was ill. There was not enough money in the house to get food, medication and all. She died. The children, then he married again later on. The children of the first wife are still bitter till today. till today I'm talking. Some of them are Christians. Well, they're Christians, but you know, all this faith thing is rubbish. You know, well, my father did and all of that, which is not right. That's a wrong attitude. But you see, the point is this. The Bible is true. You prosper and you are in health even as your soul prospers. You want full health, full healing, full life, then your soul must prosper fully. We have a simple word for it. It's called perfection. Do you see why it is indispensable? Stand to your feet. What? Stand to your feet. Don't worry. I've said enough. You know, don't your neighbor say, come in the evening. Praise the Lord. You know, I tell you what. You got to, you know, I taught you last Sunday when I was talking about making more room for Jesus. There's nobody here who doesn't have room for Jesus if you are born again. But how much room do you give him? Jesus is too expensive to put in presidential palace. Presidential palace is going to cost me 2.5-3 hours every day. I don't have that kind of time for Jesus. You hear what I just said? I don't have that kind of time for Jesus. Most of us, that's the truth. We have time, but not that kind of time for Jesus. So he's not living in the top floor. And you know the thing about Jesus and God, you know, when you get to know them better, you come to know this. God does not believe in second place. Only first. Most Christians don't understand this. He will tolerate you. And I use the word deliberate tolerate. You know, you go to heaven and all of that. But you can't be close to him. You know what he said? He said, if you love your father and your mother and me, he said, you're not worthy of me. I only demand first place. If I can't get first place, I'll tolerate you. But I'll not be close to you. Said, if you love father and mother, he said, if any man will follow me, he said, if he does not hate, he doesn't expect us to hate our parents. He's talking comparatively. You know? He said, if he doesn't hate his father and his mother, hey, even in his own life, he said, he can't follow me. That's the person we're dealing with. He said, I'm a jealous God. You have not read that in your Bible. His name is, thank you. Is jealous. He won't share his throne with you with anything else. And that's why many of us haven't gotten to where we should get to first. Yet, because we have not yet put him number one. Some people he's number 10. Some people they have moved him up, he's number 5. Some people he's number 3. He said, I'm not satisfied. I want number one. I got to close. The prosperity of the soul is threefold. And those three things are inside that steps I gave you, both the watching and praying always, as well as, you know, making more room for Jesus. All the things I've been teaching over the years, all there. It's just that, you know, I'm making it explicit now. Number one, the will. Your will must be more humble. That's why we pray every day for more. You know, we're humble. There's nobody who's not humble. But I want to be more humble. I'm not going to be satisfied until I'm as humble as Jesus was. No, so that's why we start with confession of sin, you know, honesty and humility of heart to cleanse my heart, you know, the fear of God and all of that, you know. Then number two, more revelation. The mind, to be more enlightened. That's why we pray every day. It's not
optional. Let me correct that, Laolu. It's optional. But if you take the option, it's expensive. The consequences are not good. Just like, you know, I said before, your life and death, therefore choose life. Do you have an option? Yes. You just chose death. It's not a good option. But it's an option. You know? So the next one is the mind. That's why every day you need to pray for more of the spirit of wisdom and revelation. So your understanding will be more enlightened. Then the third one is the fruit of the spirit. Every day you pray for more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness. I endure long and I'm patient and kind. I'm never envious. All those things. The more we prosper that soul, the more humble our wills become, the more enlightened our minds become, the more controlled our feelings and emotions are by the fruit of the Spirit, the more health you're going to walk in. The less sickness and disease, all of us, I just told us the best of us, John G. Lake, John Wigglesworth, Kenneth Hagin, the best of us still needed medical science, which is good. Thank God. Thank God for God, inventing medical science. The best of us. The best of us. But as God gives us those extra years through medical science, use it to prosper the soul. Then you get to the place where the life of God. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. But we will get there. This 2024 is a year of leaps and bounds. You are going to make tremendous progress spiritually. Do you understand? Get that soul prosperous, more prosperous. Get that will more submitted to the will of God. Get that mind more enlightened. Get those emotions and the feelings in your body on more under control. Then you're going to see, you know what you're going to see? You see more prosperity. It'll be so easy. Is it like that? It's like that too. You know? You need more healing. You get your body stronger. You don't need medicine as much. Use medicine when you do. Don't misunderstand. But you really don't need it as much. You're stronger. You know, Pastor Larry and Dr. Williams, they are my doctors, you know. And you know, my body is a very funny body. It doesn't obey all this. I always tell them, you know, they give me medicine, I'll use it, you know. I'm very obedient. You know, I use medicine. Then I'll just tell them, oh, I'm okay. I say, but how can it be? So check. You know, yes, it's all right. So I know it works. But it's directly tied to my soul. Once anything goes wrong in the soul region, the will, stubbornness, pride, the emotions, the mind, immediately it affects the body. It's the gateway. And it also affects the finances. So most of the time, the money's coming. Then all of a sudden, it starts dropping. I say, God, what's going on? Your soul. Deal with the soul, and the flow comes back. How many people are still on my side? You hear me? The law of the Lord is perfect.
The Lord is perfect, converting the soul.
The testimony of the Lord.
The testimony of the Lord is sure.
Making wise the simple.
Making wise the simple.
Oh,
to be desired. They that go gain and but find gold.
Sweeter also
than the honey.
And the honeycomb.
And the honeycomb. The statues of the Lord arise.
Rejoice in the heart.
Rejoice in
commandment of the Lord.
Commandment of the Lord is pure.
Enlightening the eyes.
Enlightening the eyes.
More to be desired. The fear of the Lord is clean.
The fear of the Lord is clean.
Enduring forever.
Enduring forever.
The judgments of the Lord. To be desired. Let the words, oh, sing it. One hand on your heart, raise your other hand to God. This Psalm 19 was written by David when he was a young boy, when he was in his younger years. He got a revelation of what a person can enjoy if he takes the word of God seriously. And he did. But you know, we know the mistakes David made. David died at the age of 70. He was sick, but not sick, like Kenneth Hagin. It was just old age. But it ought not to have been. I remember many years ago, we're going to pray in a minute. This 2024 is going to be a great year for you. See, I want us, our mentality to change completely. This soul thing is so important. People don't tie it to health. I've tied it to prosperity over the years because of the excesses I saw in the church in prosperity. But it's just as true for health. David, he saw it. But he too, you know, made his mistakes and all of that. By the age of 70, he was so frail. And he died. It wasn't the will of God. Correction. It wasn't the perfect will of God. Then you see Moses. God told me, he said, that's the standard. He said, keep walking to that. See, and what you believe in your heart is what is going to happen. As a man thinketh in his heart, if you believe you will die at 70, you will die. But if you believe you will live to 120, and you won't be living and they'll be carrying you all over the whole place, your strength will not be abated. Your natural strength, you know, your eye will not be dimmed. I got a revelation of this from the Bible, and also I took Joshua Lubi to a military school this many years ago, Fork Union in America. So one of his teachers was telling me this, Christian, African-American, Christian.
I never thought of it before. He said, Pastor, look at Moses at the age of 80. Went up a mountain and carried two big tablets of stone. Wow! At 80. And did it twice because he broke the first one.
So is that available? The answer is a resounding yes. For it is a better covenant.
Before we finish this party, we're going to see some dandy things. But the key is the soul. Say, Lord, have mercy on us. So receive your blood to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Your life and power in sufficient measure. Father, I thank you for your word. Thank you for reminding me of the importance of keeping my word in your heart. Keeping your word in my heart. Not letting it depart from thine eyes. Attending to it. So it will be life unto my body. Medicine to all my flesh. But I understand that it will only be that to the degree to which my soul prospers. Oh God, have mercy on me. As this year ends, and as I enter into the new year, I make a fresh covenant with you to prosper my soul. Daily, I will cause my will to become more humble, my mind to be more enlightened, my emotions to be more controlled by the fruit of the Spirit, so I can enjoy more health, more healing, and more prosperity. I declare 2024 will be a year of better health. It will be a year of better prosperity for me, for my soul. It's going to prosper more in 2024 than it did in 2023. In Jesus' name. Now pray in tongues. Rika tolomoto frelek. Father, fala prekoshtu klomotolo. Lord Jesus, Lord Holy Spirit, thank you for your blood, your life and power. In Jesus' name. If you're here, you need healing. You know, if you have some really debilitating thing and it's, you know, you need to get rid of that. And then you now continue to work on your soul and your body. You see, I now understand, Pastor G, why Jesus told that man. He said, behold, thou art made whole. He said, sin no more. Let's the worst thing come upon you. In other words, if that man kept his soul in the condition in which it was when he was sick, that thing could come back. Stretch your hand. Father, we release the healing power of God. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them into the bodies of people whose hands are outstretched, both here and at home, stretched towards their devices. We say, be thou made whole in Jesus' name. We set you free. We break the influence of the spirit of infirmity, fear, doubt, oppression, and depression. We loose the angels of God to minister to your physical body and give you health and strength. In Jesus' name, let's give the Lord a super clap offering. Hallelujah.